Mark chapter number 8. I do not have my Bible this morning. I have my wife's Bible. I have no idea where my Bible is. So, that's a horrible thing to say as a missionary. I know I read my Bible this morning, but after that, I don't know. So, yes, I have my wife's Bible. So, I also have my normal notes are in my Bible. So, these are my backup notes. So, I don't think I've actually ever preached this particular message. Not these notes, anyways. So we'll see how this goes. My wife asked me what message I was going to preach, and I said probably this one. And she says, "Oh, good, that's my favorite." And I'm like, "Oh, that's one of my shortest." And she says, "Well, I'm not going to say why I like it." So you gotta love those moments. It's like, okay, you know, just sit down. No, anyways. I'm just joking. My wife is very supportive, and usually. So, anyways. Mark chapter number 8, verse number 22. Mark chapter number 8, verse number 22. This is one of the first sermons I wrote. When I was first called to be a missionary, I thought, well, I probably ought to start writing sermons. So I wrote this, and It was just reading in my, you know, daily Bible reading. This miracle, it just kind of stood out to me. It's, you know, there's a whole lot of miracles, but this one's just a little bit different. So I want to go through and point out just a few things of this miracle. Mark chapter 8, verse number 22. It says, "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly." Here we see it, another miracle. This blind man is healed, and he gets his vision. And it's an amazing miracle, but this one, it just has a couple different twists, something you don't see with every miracle. But I just want to go through and point those out today. Let's pray first. Dear Jesus, thank you for your day. Thank you so much for this church and opportunity to come here, Lord. I pray that you would please do be with us now and come meet with us this morning, Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit's power. I pray that you give me the words to say and just help the message this morning to be a challenge. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right. First thing, well, let's back up to the beginning of this miracle, verse number 22, it says, "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and beside him to touch him." Now, that right there, it's, you know, when you're reading the miracle, you can very often just kind of skip over that first part. You know, you think, yeah, the rest of the miracle, it's great. But you can just kind of skip that little verse. It says, "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and beside him to touch him." That right there, that's soul winning. That's exactly what we're doing when we're going out on Saturday or Tuesday or Thursday or whatever day you choose to go out. That's soul winning. That's exactly what they're doing way back then. That's what we're still doing today. You know, and it doesn't give their names here in the Bible. They don't get a lot of fame. They don't get credit for it. But there had to be some people there to bring this blind man to Jesus. He had no other way to get to Jesus. He's blind. He couldn't see. He couldn't get to him on his own. These people brought him to Jesus. That's what we're doing. We're going out. We're finding the blind people. We're finding the people that aren't saved, that aren't in church. And we're bringing them into church. We're bringing them to Jesus. It's the same soul winning. And we can just skip over that part. But you know, without those soul winners, we'd have no miracle this morning. These soul winners were the beginning to the miracle. Jesus worked the miracle, but without the soul winners, it couldn't have been worked. You know, God has all the power in the world. He can do whatever he wants. But we're going to have to be his tools. He's going to use us to get people into church, to change people's lives, to work miracles every day in people's lives. That's what soul winning is. That's what we should be doing. And it's same soul winning way back then to start this miracle, as it is what we're still doing today. But with the blind man, first thing I see he had to do is he had to leave. In verse number 23, It says, and he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. First thing I see is he had to leave the town. He had to get outside the town. Now, you know, this blind man probably, especially in these times, probably didn't get around all that much. Probably that was his, you know, that's his town. That's where he spends most of his life. That's where he does any business he does. You know, I don't know if he was a beggar or if he had people take care of him. I don't know. But he probably spent most of his time here in the town. But I see before God is going to work the miracle, blind man had to leave. He had to leave the town. It says Jesus took him by the hand and led him out of the town. Sometimes we have to get away from the world and from the sin and from just everything that's going to drag us down. Like you mentioned, it's we go through the whole week and you know everybody that we see at work and everything that we do, they don't have anything good to say about God. They don't have anything good to say about church. They're going to be taking us down, dragging us down. That's the world. You have to be able to get out of that. Sometimes you're going to have to leave that. You're going to have to leave that behind. And you know what? Sometimes it's a sin that's going to be holding us back. And it's going to be something that, you know what? I know God could use me, and I know God could work in my life, and he could do something amazing. He could heal me. He could work a miracle. But I'm just not willing to leave. I'm just not willing to get away from that. God can do so much, but you know what? First thing, before this blind man could be healed, he had to leave. He had to get outside the town. Maybe it's just a comfort zone. Maybe it's not the world or something, you know, some kind of sin that's dragging you down. Maybe it's just you're comfortable. And you say, you know what? I'm here, and this is what I do every day. And I'm comfortable right here. And maybe God has something else for me, but this is where I want to stay. I'm comfortable right here. It may not be a sin. It may not be some horrible influence that's holding you back, but it's just you're not willing to leave your comfort zone. I see before this blind man before he was going to be healed, he had to leave the town. He had to leave where he was used to, what he was in every day. He had to leave that and come outside of that before he can be healed. We got to be willing to leave our comfort zone. And God can work in our life. God can do something amazing. He can work a miracle. But maybe we're just too comfortable where we are to get to a place where God can work a miracle. So the first thing I see is he had to leave. Second thing I see is he had to be led. It says, and he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. So Jesus took the blind man and physically led him out of the town. But this blind man, he had to be willing to say, all right, you know what, Jesus? He had no idea where he was going. He's blind. So when he holds out his hand, lets Jesus take him, he had no idea where he was going to end up. He had no idea. But he let Jesus lead. He said, all right, you know what? Wherever you want me to go, that's where I'm going to be going. You got to let Jesus lead in your life. If God has a place for that he wants you to be, but you got to let him take you there. When I grew up, I grew up in a good Christian home. I was saved when I was 9 years old and went through, you know, every Sunday school class, went through every conference, every missions conference, everything that was going on, any revival, I was there. And that's just what I did. It's what I was used to. When I was 17 years old, God began to work in my life, or work in my heart. And he started calling me to be a missionary. And I'm embarrassed to say I ran from it for a while. And you know what? I had my own idea. I thought I love computers. I'm into anything to do with computers. And it was my plan for life. What made sense to me was to, you know, I was going to do a year of Bible college because that's what, you know, all pastors said to do and my parents said to do. So, you know, I was willing to give up that year and go to Bible college. But then I was going to go and I was going to get into the computer industry and start making money. That was my plan for my life. I had my own plan. I had it set exactly what I was going to do. And I didn't want to let God lead. I knew where God was leading me. I didn't know it was Puerto Rico, but I knew it was going to be somewhere on the mission field. And I wouldn't let him lead. And I say, no, this makes so much sense. You know, I have a natural talent for this. And I'm good at this. I know that, you know, I thought I could be a success at chasing that dream. I didn't want to let God lead. And I fought it for a couple months. And before I finally said, all right, you know what? God, whatever you have for me, whatever plan you have for me, then that's okay. And I let him lead. And I surrendered to be a missionary. I went to Providence Baptist College and took all 4 years, missions major. And I'm letting him lead. I don't know where he's going to take me, but I'm excited about it. You know, I'm still that blind man. And I gave him my hand back then. I said, you know what? You can take me to the mission field. You can take me where you want me to go. But you got to let him lead. You got to be that blind man and say, all right, no matter where you take me, no matter what place you decide to work another miracle in my life, you lead. You take the lead. So we got married in June, and we went on our to the survey trip. Went up to the town of Utuado, and it's up in the mountains. It's crazy. It's only about 25 miles away from Ponce, but it's up a mountain, and I mean it's curvy roads with nothing on the one side. It's pretty crazy. It takes about an hour and a half to get up there. So we're winding our way up there, and we drove through the city. Okay, I was with the other missionary. Then he took us to Route 10, and it kind of goes up above the city. And he stopped the car, and so he just stopped to look out at the city. And I opened up my door to get out and look, and I mean it's as clear as anything in my life. God's saying, this is where I want you. I want you here. Looking out at the city, it's 32,000 people. They don't have any gospel preaching church at all. They have a Catholic church, and they have a charismatic church that is nearby. But these people, they have no way. They got no one to tell them how to get saved. And they're up there. They're just normal people. They're just like you and me. They're average, everyday, working class people. And they're up there. They got no way to be saved. They got no one to show them that Jesus died for them. That Jesus paid the price. That they're not trying to work their way to heaven. That Jesus paid it all. They got no one to tell them that. And you know what? Again, I felt God leading. I felt him saying, this is where I want you to go. This is what I want you to do. Now, his plan is amazing. It's incredible. I surrendered. I said, all right, that's where I'm going to be going. I'm going to be going to Utuado. I'm going to start a church up there. And my wife has type 1 diabetes. So she has to get insulin all the time, every 3 months. And so she has to have a specialized doctor for it, an endocrinologist for it, to give the prescription. So we're already surrendered to go to Utuado, no matter what. That wasn't going to hold us back. We went up there on our second trip, and we just stopped to get some food at one of the little restaurants they have there. And we park in the car, and we look across the street, and it has endocrinologist right there. Right there in the city. I couldn't have planned that. There's no way I could have set that up to have that right there. That was all God. And he's just giving me a glimpse. You know what? This is what I have for you. He's got a miracle waiting, but you gotta let him lead. You gotta let him lead. And you know what? It may not be to the mission field. It probably isn't, but I mean it could be. But God can be leading you anywhere. He can be leading you to this house, to talk to this person. He can be leading you to some coworker or to some relative. But you gotta let God lead. There's no telling what he could do. There's no limit to the miracle that he could work if you just let God lead. Let him take you to where he wants you to be so he can work the miracle in your life. The third thing I see is this blind man, he had to be humble. He had to be humble. Now, Jesus could have used any method in the world to work a miracle. I mean, we see he uses several different things. He just spoke a word or just touched them, and they were healed. This particular time, he chose a little bit different method. He chose to spit on this man's eyes. That's pretty humbling. There's not a whole lot worse that can happen to you than that. And he just chose to spit on. You know what? That blind man, he could have said, oh, no, whoa, whoa, whoa. I may be blind, but I'm too good for this, That's, you can't treat me like that. That's below me. No, he didn't do that. He had to be humble enough. So that he said, you know what? If that's how you want to work in my life, if that's what you want to do, if that's your method to work this miracle, then that's fine. You can spit on me. You can do whatever you want. We have our pride, and it'll stand up and it'll say, no, I'm an American citizen. I don't deserve this. Or we have our pride, and you have to be humble enough, because when God decides to work a miracle, it may not be your idea of what's best. He's going to work in some mysterious ways, and he's going to choose his own method of how he's going to work a miracle. It may not always make sense to you, but you have to be humble enough to let him lead, or to let him work a miracle however he wants to do it. Sometimes it's going to be uncomfortable. Sometimes I'm not comfortable with that. That's so weird. It's different. Sometimes it's going to be uncomfortable when God decides to work, and we don't understand it. This blind man didn't understand it. I'm sure he wasn't thinking ahead of time, oh, I bet Jesus is going to spit on my eyes. No, he wasn't thinking that. There's no way he was thinking that. We don't understand how God's going to work in our life. And we may have a plan set. Oh, you know, this is what I'm going to do. This is a great plan. It makes sense, and everybody can see. That's my plan for my life. God has a different plan. But you have to be humble enough so that, you know what, when he decides to change the plan, and when he decides to do something that isn't exactly comfortable, that isn't exactly, you know, normal, that you're humble enough to let him do it. If God's going to work in your life, you got to let him work however he's going to work. Fourth thing I see is he had to want it. He had to want it. In verse number 24, it says, and he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped this part. It said, and when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. So this blind man looks up. After he's been spit on, he looks up and says, I can see. This is a miracle right here. I mean, you can not even mention the rest of these verses. That's a miracle. He went from not being able to see anything to now he can see. It's not very clear. He sees men as trees walking. It's not 100%, but he can see. That's a miracle right there. There's no doubt about that. He could have gone home, seen his friends, seen his family for the first time in his life. I mean, he had every right to. He couldn't see very clearly, but he could see. That's a miracle. God's been working in our life. If you're saved today, if you're a child of God, you know, before when I was 8 years old, before I got saved, you know, I wasn't a bad person. I was in church all the time. I was in church, you know, since the nursery. But if I were to die, I was going to be going to hell. I hadn't been saved yet. God saved me, and I trust in Jesus as my personal Savior. He saved me. I'm going to heaven when I die. That is a miracle. There's no doubt about that. He's already worked a miracle in my life. Now I'm here. You're here. You're in church Sunday morning. That's a miracle. God has been working in your life. He's already done some pretty amazing things. He's done some very amazing things. Just like with this blind man, he's already worked some miracles. But you know what? He's got so much more that he can work in our life. He's got so much more that he can give to us. But maybe we're saying, you know what? I'm good with this. You know, I'm comfortable right here. And God has worked my life. Praise the Lord for it. That's fantastic. And that's where we stop. God's got so much more for us. This blind man had so much more he could have. And if you would have stopped right there, you know what? Yes, it's true. God had worked a miracle in his life, but he had so much more miracle to work. God's worked some pretty amazing miracles in our life, but you know what? He's got so much more he can do with us. He's got so much more planned that we don't understand. We don't know exactly what's going to be happening. This blind man, he was completely blind. Now he can see a little bit. He had no idea what it was going to be like to see clearly. We have no idea what God can do in our life. Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 20, if I can find it here. Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 20. It says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all ages." God can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, when I think about Puerto Rico, when I pray about Puerto Rico, I can pray for some pretty amazing things. You know, I can pray for a huge church, for people getting saved left and right. I can pray for so many things. I can ask for a whole lot of stuff. Or even without praying, I can dream. I can have some pretty amazing dreams. And just think about what God can do and the miracles that he can work. But you know what? God has exceeding abundantly above all anything that I can ask for, that I can even think about. He's got so much more for us. And you know what? Sometimes we just think, oh, this is great. The miracles that God has worked in our life, the place that he's gotten us to, it is fantastic. But he has so much more. He's got so much more to give to us. He's got so much more that he's waiting. He's wanting to give us this miracle, to work some more in our life. But maybe you're just saying, no, I'm good right here. I'm comfortable. I'm going to stop right here. You can't do that. You have to want it. You have to want God to keep working in your life. You have to want God to continue working. That's what kept the blind man there. That the blind man, he could have gone home. He had every right to go home, absolutely thrilled. But no, he wanted God to continue to work. He wanted God to keep working in his life. That's what we got to do. We got to want God to keep working in our life. We have to want him to keep working. Last thing I see is, he had to stay close. He had to stay close. Now, after Jesus had already worked the miracle, and you know he can now see, still not very clearly, he wanted it bad enough, he stayed close. He stayed as close as he could to Jesus. I think he wasn't going to leave at all. He's saying, you know what, Jesus, you've worked in my life already. I am not going anywhere. I am staying right here. There's no way I'm going to let you leave. There's no way I'm going to leave you. I want to be as close to you as I can. Because he knew God had more. Jesus had he had more of a miracle to give to him. And he's already worked in his life, but he could keep going. He stayed close to Jesus. He stayed as close to Jesus as he could. We have to stay close to Jesus. You know what? We can say, oh yes, I want God to work in my life. I want God to keep working miracles in my life, but you have to be willing to stay close. Now, that's staying close, that's those simple things. That's reading your Bible. That's praying. That's coming to church. That's doing right. So simple things that just keep you close to Jesus, because he has a miracle that he wants to work in our life, or he wants to keep working in our life. He wants to finish a miracle, and he has all the power already. You know, he doesn't have to wait for anything. He's not, you know, trying to muster up enough strength to keep working our life. He's got all the power in the world. We have to stay close so that when he's ready to work, when he's ready to give us the rest of the miracle, we're right there. We're ready. We're waiting to receive it. So I see before this blind man could see clearly. First thing is he had to leave. He had to leave the town. He had to get outside of it, get outside of his comfort zone, get outside of what he was used to for God to work on him. He had to be willing to be led. He had to say, Jesus, all right, no matter where you want me to go, no matter what you want me to do, you lead. And I'll follow you no matter what. He had to be humble enough to let God use whatever method he was going to use. In whatever way he was going to decide to work this miracle, he was humble enough to receive it. He had to want it. Even though God had already worked in his life, even though he'd already done something amazing, he had to want God to keep working in his life. He had to want it bad enough to stay close. Last thing, he had to stay close. He had to stay right there, close to Jesus. Verse number 25 says, after that, after all this has already happened, after everything that's happened up to this point, and he's staying there, he's staying close, after that, he put his hands again upon his eyes. This time, he just chose to put his hands on his eyes. and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. This blind man had no idea how good it could be, how much God could work in his life. But he stayed there. He stayed close to Jesus, and he said, all right, you work in my life, and I'll be right here to receive it. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for your day. Thank you for this church, Lord. I pray that you would please do bless us and help us this morning, Lord. I pray that the message would just be a challenge and a help to everyone. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.